you would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated, "God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Okay, what I'm going to be talking with you about today is treating you as mature people who need to understand mature things. Got it? This is in the Bible. This is not something that I decided to... I suppose somebody needs to tell them. This is what the text is talking about, and I'll tell you why it's important that we talk about it. Jesus was born of a virgin. His mother had never had sexual relations with a man. And his birth was a miracle, and God is his father. These are basic Christian doctrines that followers of Jesus have known and embraced for 2,000 years. However, there are foolish people, and I'm being kind, who every year want to suggest that it didn't really happen this way. You know, that's kind of a legend that grew up. You know, it's not even in all the Gospels. It's, you know, I mean, it's in a couple of them, but, you know, it's, that was a later addition. I mean, after all, for goodness sake, we know where babies come from. We know that in order to have a baby, you have to have a father and a mother. This is usually said by people who think now in our culture it ought to be fine for Heather to have two mommies, okay? But for some reason, when it comes to Jesus, they want to say, no, this virgin birth thing, that's just an embarrassment. Because in ancient times, maybe people could believe in that kind of miracle, but we're modern, sophisticated, scientific people. We know that it takes a father and a mother making a biological contribution. That's what they say. Some of them have doctor before their name, or PhD, which is a doctor, after their name. Okay. Now, I'm not talking about medical doctors saying this. They're not the ones who act like idiots. These are people who got a degree in something like theology. They're supposed to know about God, okay? And they clearly don't. Because let me ask you a question. Who invented biology? God invented biology. God made the universe. And so it's not as if, you know, somebody needs to explain how an almighty creator of all things who invented sexual relations could somehow create a virgin birth. Okay? I mean, that's any time that you look at a miracle and think, well, I just don't think it could have happened like that. You're the idiot. Okay? We're talking about God doing something. But this notion that, again, it gets trotted out every year at this time by supposed scholars, and if you waste your time watching TV, you will see some of them during this holiday season appearing on local news, wherever you are in the country, because somebody at the local news station thinks it would be a good idea to hear from the other side. While we're all talking about Jesus, I think it's very interesting to hear what the pastor of the large church downtown that doesn't have any people in it wants to say. Okay? And so we're going to bring him into the studio and talk with him. Now, in your latest book, you suggest that Jesus wasn't really born of a virgin. That was just kind of a myth that grew up in order to enhance his status. Is that right? I mean, there are all kinds of theories about who Jesus' real biological father might have been, okay? I mean, do you ever wonder in the movies why Jesus has blue eyes and all the other Jews have brown? You know, it's like, we got to make him stand out in the crowd. His hair has got to be better too, okay? There's this difficulty that we have just dealing with Jesus the way he's presented in Scripture. And one of the things you need to understand about the way Jesus is presented in the Scripture is that his mother is named Mary and his father is named God. Okay? He was born of a virgin. And that is important because he did not have the inherited sin nature and the guilt of original sin. All the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve inherited a sin nature that is a bent toward sin. Jesus didn't have that. Not only that, we all inherit corporate guilt. Corporate. How do you spell corporate? Don't worry about it. Just put guilt, okay? But I want you to understand this. This is important. The reason Jesus needed to be born of a virgin was so that he would be the sinless, perfect sacrifice. That's the reason he's able to take our place. The reason the rest of us can't do it is because we're a bunch of sinners. I can't die for you and take away your sin because I deserve to die for my sin. You can't die for me because you wouldn't want to. And also because you're a sinner too. All of us are by nature sinners. We don't become sinners by sinning. We sin because we're sinners. We do what comes naturally. Parents don't sit down with their children and say, okay, now, honey, today's lesson is on selfishness. Okay? I hope you remember what we taught you yesterday about how to be deceitful. But today we're going to just focus in on selfishness. Parents don't have to teach their kids that, do they? We just kind of come by it naturally. I told you just the other day, if you want to see a child put beans up their nose, tell them not to and leave the room. Okay? Why'd you do that? Well, they told me not to. That's what we tend to do by nature. Give us a garden full of fruit trees and tell us you can eat the fruit of any of the trees in the garden, except that one right there. We're going to do what Adam and Eve did. We're going to follow in their footsteps. We're going to eat the fruit on that tree. Why? Because we were told not to, so it must be good. I could give you all kinds of illustrations from having raised seven children of our own, but just think back into your own life. Some of you spend more energy trying to avoid doing what you're supposed to do than it would take to do what you're supposed to do. Am I correct? I mean, it would be easier just to obey, but instead I'm going to wear myself out, wearing the adults out, trying to avoid doing what I'm told. Why? Because you're a sinner. That's why. That's our problem. Jesus was born of a virgin, and it is important. Certain preachers who claim to be evangelical have tried to say, no, that's a stumbling block. That's an offense in our modern culture because people nowadays know about biology. They know that it takes a father and a mother in order to have a pregnancy. That's what they say. Idiotic. Absolutely nuts. What did we see in this passage that we just read from Matthew? Joseph is engaged to Mary, and before they came together and had physical relations, it was discovered that she was pregnant. And Joseph said, oh, well, these things happen sometime. Right? No. Joseph said, obviously, she has been unfaithful, and so I could have her stoned or publicly ridiculed, but I'm not going to. I'm going to quietly divorce her because he still cared about her. And when it says, don't be afraid to take her as your wife, clearly he had a desire to still have her as a wife. But he felt like he couldn't because obviously she's not only been immoral, but she's trying to get me to believe this crazy story about not having been immoral, but God's the father. Okay? I'm sorry. Are you crazy? Or do you think I'm going to be crazy enough to believe that kind of a story? I mean, I don't believe it. I don't buy it. I'm not going to... I'm sorry, Mary. Tell you what, I do care about you, so I'm just going to divorce you quietly. Okay? But, you know, this business of God being the Father, the angel coming to see you and all that stuff, you know, I'm sorry, I can't buy that. I mean, why doesn't an angel come see me? Okay? So an angel comes to see him. And the angel says, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife because she's not lying to you. What is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. In fact, it is not just a baby with God as his father. It is the fulfillment of the promise that one day the virgin would conceive and bear a son. And he will be God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. Wow. So Joseph wakes up from the dream and he says, I'm getting married. Okay? Imagine being Mary and getting the news that Joseph had a visit from an angel also. And now he knows that she's not lying. And they're going to get married after all. Would that be good news? What a tremendous joy that would be for her. What a tremendous relief that would be for her. But that's not all that the angel told him. She will give birth to a son. This was before the day of ultrasound. Okay? I mean, now couples decide, do we want to know whether it's a boy or a girl? And some couples are like, yeah, as soon as possible, so we know what color to paint the room, okay? And other people are like, no, don't tell me. I want it to be a surprise, okay? I mean, I know lovely couples in both camps. Most want to know ahead of time. Some are, no, Others are like, yeah, we're going to know, but we're not going to tell. Okay? So the thing is, you've got all these folks nowadays who know ahead of time whether it's going to be a boy or a girl. Back then, in fact, back when I was being born, they didn't know. Okay? They didn't know. It was like, well, you know, we believe it's human. You know, that was about it. Yeah. They could do some tests, but let me tell you, it was not routine to know the gender of your child. Mary and Joseph both knew it's going to be a son. And by the way, you're to name him Yeshua. Okay. We translate it Jesus because that's what we're familiar with. And if you had a translation that said Yeshua instead of Jesus, people wouldn't buy it because we all grew up with our tradition of saying Jesus. But just so you know. And there are, by the way, people out there today running around saying that, you know, it's not okay to call him Jesus. You need to be calling him Yeshua because if you call him something else, it's not showing respect and love and so forth. He has assured me he does not mind, okay? It's not an issue. It's not a problem. Yeshua HaMashiach, okay? Can you all say Yeshua? HaMashiach. Very good. You even got the ach. That's good. That's good. Okay. That's Jesus Christ in our English versions. But the important thing, it's what the name means. It means he's the Savior. That's what the name means. It means he's the Savior. My name is Jim, which is the familiar short form of James. Okay? But in Spanish, my name would be Diego. Now, don't you try calling me Diego. Okay? But if I was being introduced in Mexico or Seville, and they wanted to put on the front of the material that my name was Diego Wood, I wouldn't say, "What? What is this? What have you done? I wasn't named Diego, I was named James." It's the same thing. That's the way we say it in our culture. Got it? Understand? Don't let anybody make you feel like Jesus isn't going to know who you're talking to if you call him Jesus. It's like, what? What? I don't answer to that name. Okay? I mean, there really are people right now for whom this is a big thing. Okay? You got to say Yeshua. You know, I remember before I knew that you had to say Yeshua. I heard that testimony within the last year. And they were totally serious, okay? So they're going to name him Savior. Why? Well, that has a nice ring to it. No, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, that's really big. I mean, that's huge. This is the one we've been waiting for. This is God's anointed. This is the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. That's really good news. But there's another thing in this passage that is clearly there, but some folks might just, let's put it this way, most folks would tend just to kind of skirt over it, especially if you're talking to a group that includes children, because we don't want children to know about such things. Okay? Let me tell you, it's in the text twice. First of all, it says that she was found to be with child before they had come together. Then, after Joseph says, "I'm going to marry her," look at what it says. Verse 24 and following. When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. So, The text tells us that she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit before Joseph and Mary had ever had physical union. And that when Joseph got the word from God to go ahead and marry her, because God is the father of the child, he did marry her, but he refrained from sexual activity with her until after the child was born. I'm sorry, that's just TMI. No, it's not. Okay? Here's the thing. There are large numbers of people in what calls itself the universal church who have been taught a view of sexual relations and of marriage that is not biblical. Because in order to elevate Mary to a higher status than the Bible calls for, she has to remain a virgin. We got to keep her that way. Now, it's difficult. I don't want to slam anybody, but I want to deal with what the text says. Please notice what it says. Verse 25. He married her, but he didn't have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son. Until. It doesn't say, but he didn't have sexual relations with her, because that would have spoiled her virginity, and it was very important that she remain a virgin for the rest of her days. Okay? So you're saying that the wording of the text actually indicates that after the baby was born, they behaved like a husband and wife are supposed to behave. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, is there any other evidence from the scriptures for that, or is that just sort of a Protestant tradition? Well, let me give you a few scriptures. Mark 3:21, and then verses 32 and following from Mark chapter 3. Okay, just jot that down in your notes. Mark 3:21 and verse 32 and following. Then Mark 6:3. Well, do I have to turn all those pages? No, you don't. Just write it down. Mark 6:3. But we will turn to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, beginning in verse 53. When Jesus had finished these parables, he left there. He went to his hometown and began to teach them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters? Aren't they all with us? So where does he get all these things?" And they were offended by him. Apparently, Mary had a bunch of children, and they weren't all the result of a virgin birth. Now, those who want to keep Mary a virgin propose various theories. The word brother could also mean cousin. It could just mean relative, okay? Or perhaps those were like stepchildren. They were Joseph's children, but not really Mary's, even though the text says they were hers. I just have to ask a question. Why does that matter? Why does it matter to some religious people to keep Mary a virgin permanently? Well, because Mary has to be sinless. That's what some folks say. I had a guy who heard me on the radio, listens, or at least listened once to the broadcast, and was horribly offended and wrote to me to straighten me out. And he said, in order for Jesus to be sinless, his mother had to be sinless. And I said in response, my wife's down here wanting to give away all my stuff right before I say it. Okay? I said in response, then how was she sinless? Does that mean both her parents were sinless? Ooh. Okay? This business of trying to make Mary sinless and a perpetual virgin is totally, totally bogus. And I'm being kind. Okay? The only sinless person who has ever lived on this planet is named Jesus. He's the only one. We don't need more. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the one mediator between God and man. We don't have two. We don't have a mediator and a mediatrix. That's the feminine mediator. Okay? We don't have that. That's not biblical. That is not only not found in the Bible, it's contrary to the Bible. And again, in the passage that I gave you from Mark chapter 3, Mary was out of line. And she traveled with Jesus' siblings to come and try and take him away from the ministry God had called him to because she thought he was out of his mind. Why? Because she heard he wasn't eating. Okay? If my boy is not getting 3 square meals a day, we've got to intervene. We're going to have an intervention. We're going to say, you must eat. So they came to get him. And Jesus, after they had hiked a long distance to come to where he was, Jesus wouldn't even leave the building to go talk to him. They're standing outside. Picture this. Mom is outside having traveled to see Jesus, and Jesus won't go talk to her. That doesn't seem very respectful. Well, actually, that pattern could be observed earlier in his life when he was 12 years old. And he stayed behind in Jerusalem and was at the temple, and Mary and Joseph had lost track of him and didn't realize he wasn't traveling with them. And when they realized it, they had to go back to Jerusalem and find their boy. And when they finally find him in the temple, Mary says, why would you treat us like this? And Jesus says, didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business? Jesus didn't say, oh, I'm sorry, Mommy. I should not have done anything to offend you. Jesus is perfect. He hadn't done anything wrong. By the way, you're not Jesus. Got it? The rest of us need to know how to apologize because we frequently mess up. But Jesus, who is perfect, was able to say to his mother in a very gracious, respectful way, you're the one who's out of line. I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing my Father's business. I'm in my Father's house. Jesus knew who he was, and Jesus was obedient to the Father. And Mary sometimes got it and sometimes didn't. You know why? Because like us, she was a sinner. I think she's the greatest woman who's ever lived. Bingo, fine, no problem. Okay? Was that bingo? Was that a joke? Was that a little slip? I'll let you wonder. Here's the thing. See, most of you have no idea why that would even be a pun, but that's all right. That's all right. Bingo, is that that song, B-I-N-G-O? I don't know. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Jesus is the one mediator between God and man. There is no other. He's the only one. He's the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He didn't say, no one comes to the Father except through me. Or my mom. Okay? He didn't say that. You say, well, I just feel so intimidated trying to talk directly to Jesus. I'd feel better talking to his mom. That's not an offer. That's not a plan. You're not supposed to try and have communion with the dead. And let me tell you something. Jesus welcomes sinners. Stop being intimidated. Start being obedient. Come to him. Ask for his mercy. Now, why would some people try and make it so that virginity is forever exalted and marriage and marital relations between a husband and wife are somehow not very good? That's, you know, I mean, it's just not, you know, it's, I mean, you know, if you have to, you have to, but it's just not very good. Why? Because they are messed up. The Bible teaches that God made us male and female and ordained that a man and a woman should be joined together as husband and wife. It is a marriage relationship, and the marriage precedes the physical union. You don't try people out, and then if you get really, really attached to somebody, maybe we ought to get married. That is the devil's lie. Do not fall for it. God's plan was that he made us male and female, and that a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. And I'll tell you something else. Let religion not denigrate. It is not a concession. It is a blessing. And I want you to know that God's plan for our sexuality is a wonderful, beautiful thing. It is not dirty. It is not funny. It is holy. And I don't want you to miss that. Well, are some people called to be single? Yes. Some people are called by God to singleness. But do not ever think that anybody is given license for immorality, or that single people should look down on married people or married people on single people. Because guess who was single? Jesus. And he lived a holy life and gave his life for us. So married or single, everything is for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the truth of your word. Thank you so much for the example of Mary, who yielded herself to your will and brought us the precious child that was born in Bethlehem. Thank you for Joseph, who yielded himself to your will and married Mary and was a good husband to her. We pray that you would help us to understand and believe your word, and not try and fit it into our messed up minds, but instead have our minds renewed by your word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.